Mostly sunny throughout the rest of the day. Highs in the 60s. Thursday night, partly cloudy. Lows into the 40s. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rolling out into Monday. Looking at partly sunny skies. Highs in the 60s. Mostly cloudy at night. Lows into the 40s. For you boaters, no major advisory in effect this evening. Nothing for me to issue for tomorrow. And with that said, we got next show here for you. Wake the Bear. I hope you enjoy the show.
Opinions expressed in the following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers. Good evening. We're open for another show tonight. And hey, wanted to bring up something to you. It's kind of a sad day to me, or it will be in a couple days. It's a one-year anniversary of, I think, one of the most tragic things that ever happened in our country. I believe our election was stolen. What do you think, ladies?
Well, I am still commiserating over it, but I have hope. There's good news out of Maricopa. There's good news out of Wisconsin. And there's good news out of Georgia. So I've got great hope that maybe something might turn. Let's keep it in front of us, though. Let's just keep thinking, you know, if I had something stolen from me and some time went by, I wouldn't be forgetting about it. So I think we need to keep it in front of our face. We want to welcome everybody tonight. We want to welcome our listeners, and I want to say hi to Kat. She was a guest from last week, and we're excited for her to be here. Kat, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and we want to hear, too, about some of the activities as the show goes on. But first, let's hear about you.
Gosh, well, I think we talked a little bit about this last time. I'm a mother of an 8-year-old boy. I have been primarily active as a volunteer in the last few years, working primarily to help people stand for medical freedom of choice and informed consent. So I've been heavily involved in helping parents and children fight the mandates for the last year and a half now, or no, since March really is when schools started reopening. But I was also fighting to reopen schools without the masks. In fact, I went back to an old Board of Supervisors meeting that I went to, I think it was in June or July, and I spoke to them at the time and I said, I can't believe you're really thinking about putting masks on our children. And I spoke to the muscles in our face, right, that express so much, like the wink of an eye or the little hint of a grin in the corner of your mouth, and how those expressions are being taken away. And so I expressed that horror over a year ago, and here we are.
Who would have thought all this time had gone by? Yeah. Well, well done, though, that you got out, you got off the couch, you went to the meeting, you expressed yourself, and you're still expressing yourself.
So. Very much. Well, that's something that I think once you've been offended and it hits your family and it's a personal thing, that's when you start to wake up. And I think what I'm trying to do now is let other mothers and fathers understand the mistake or the mistakes that I made because I was naive and blindly trusting of a very powerful industry. And I would have wished for someone to say it to me, you know, hey, I might want to rethink that advice that you're being given because it's heavily influenced via funding or, you know, backdoor incentives.
Yeah, well, tonight we're talking about the children, aren't we? This is Wake the Bear Legacy 2 is
yes.
The name of our show, isn't it, Ron?
Absolutely. And we have Brandon that's off-site today. So he's not in the studio, and
I'm here.
Thanks for babysitting.
Yes.
Out of sight is not out of mind.
Yes. So how are things going, Brandon? Good.
I'm good. Everywhere I go, people are cheering me on. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. That's right.
There's a lot of top songs this week.
Yes. There's a lot of top songs this week.
I don't know if you heard of the high-res Jimmy Levy song, This Is a War. It's fabulous.
Ooh.
Yes. There's parts of it that speak so quick, I could barely listen quick enough. I can only imagine how difficult it is to speak that quick. It is a great song.
I went through and screenshot a couple of the points that they were making, but it's really, really good. Everybody should check it out. High-res, Jimmy Levy, This Is a War.
Nice.
We'll have that in the show notes.
I love music. Music speaks.
So, hey, tonight, one of the things we wanted to focus in on last week with Kat, Mellow Kat, is we got a little bit of a background in her participation in some of these protests and how they go, the ins and outs and stuff. But we took a pretty good interest in one of the articles that you wrote. It was actually a letter, it's the FDA Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to just kind of go through that a little bit because I was very Great. Impressed with what I read, at least. I'm like, wow, this is an informed parent. And I could learn some things from her. She's done her research. I mean, you had, I think, eighteen points.
I just kept going. I had to put it on the record. I've written in the past for ACIP comments and CDC comments, FDA comments, and even though at this point I feel like I'm not sure they're listening, I needed to have that on the record because at the very least, one day when we look back in history, that's going to be somewhere. That's on the record. I spoke my truth, and I needed to put it down. It felt really good to get that done. So
one of the things I love about it is here you are, a Santa Cruz mom, Santa Cruz, California. You sat down, you went through, and it was beautifully, logically, it was like a piece of art. You put it together very nicely, but you sent it to a federal panel in Washington. And I love that you took the effort. You weren't dissuaded to think, oh, no one's going to read this, or, oh, it's so far away. How can I make a difference? You did it. You sent it, and it got published in the Children's Health Defense Journal. And so talk a little bit about what the letter said and what you were hoping to communicate with it.
You know, it's funny. The letter basically spelled out all of the reasons I thought that they should not be even considering, even having a conversation about approving these experimental gene therapies for children. And there is a history that I have grown too familiar with that I really wish wasn't real, but it's the revolving door between the regulatory bodies like the FDA and the CDC and industry. And you'll find that a lot of these players are, they're incentivized, whether it's a lucrative position once you leave your post, you know, like we've touched on the CDC, Julie Gerberding, even Paul Offit, who holds I believe it's a $1.5 million, I'm not sure what the title is, but he's at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, CHOP EDU, and you'll find that he's a very, very pro-vaccine, very pro that everything, you know, you could give 10,000 vaccines to a baby and it would be fine. And but anyway, he helped co-develop the rotavirus vaccine and with Merck. And then he sat on the ACIP, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, after he had, you know, Merck took it, you know, and he then voted in his own rotavirus vaccine. So there's two on the schedule. Interestingly enough, if you dive into the package inserts, you'll see that even the FDA admits that it was contaminated with porcine circovirus. I believe it was like PCV, and you can see it on the package insert. And what they're saying is, what they said, I looked into this a while back, by the way, is that there are no known issues, right? But no big deal. We have just, you know, porcine pig DNA swirling around in your body there after those vaccines. So, you know, there's a lot of layers. And so I'll just put this out there. I no longer respect, nor do I trust these regulatory agencies. They've failed me. I'm a regret mom because I gave my son everything that they said I needed. And when I finally looked into everything that he had, I don't even think people are aware of how extensive the childhood immunization schedule is. I don't even want to say immunization because really this is just, they're injecting so many foreign excipients, meaning the things they add to the vaccines, really highly inflammatory, toxic. If you look up each one, you'll realize this is nothing I would ever drink. So why inject it into the body, especially on the first day of life? Oh, you know, a few months later. I mean, they've got kids on this formula. And there are incentives also for pediatricians. If they have 60% of their pediatric population following the CDC schedule on time, they receive bonuses
from, you know, roughly $400 per head for. Now, that covers a lot of your,
sounds
your
like
expenses.
Cattle.
Your overhead. Yeah.
$400 so per head.
I felt exactly like that going in. It was like I said, chop shop or turn and burn or something. But that's how I felt during all those well visits they shuttled us through in the beginning. Now, I have friends that I'm so happy for them because some of them have had, you know, the entire pregnancy without a single ultrasound, without a single doctor visit, the most healthy, happy, thriving, incredible babies. And they even have birthed, you know, in the middle of my girlfriend recently had her baby, you know, in her friend's bathroom, like, caught, you know, squatted and had the baby, you know, just like, this is hardcore. And, you know, I think they get women feeling afraid of such natural yet important and essential experiences. I used to be too posh to push. I lived in Los Angeles for a long time, and I was young and single, and I didn't really know. And that's, I said I was lost, right, in our last show. And then I said I watched The Business of Being Born, and there is so much behind all of the physical things, the rush of hormones, every aspect of a natural physical birth, the vaginal birth, is so important and profound, and it helps with the bonding, and it helps with the health. I mean, so there's a lot we could go into there, but it's, I had this great awakening again because of my son. So, anyway.
So you actually address some issues in your letter to the FDA. There was some strong language, and you had quite a few points that you made. What were, wanting to communicate to this body, this regulatory body so far away in Washington?
This is the where I even started. This is the most important thing. What's so frustrating is we keep hearing, whenever I try to share this information, people say, well, I trust the science. I listen to the science, and you just are a Russian troll or a Trump supporter. And they kind of push me off as a, you know, like, I don't read the science. I'm a Google doctor. And so my first comment to the FDA was about bias, because on their own website, and I have links that are attached to the letter, I think it's on your website, comments that they make, like, we, just like you, we are eager to see our children and grandchildren vaccinated as soon as possible. So they're using language that explicitly demonstrates they have a bias. They really are excited. They can't wait for these vaccines to be approved. They can't wait to help alleviate our stresses. They want to give us these vaccines. The problem with that is that bias disrupts evidence-based medicine. And if we're talking about science, you really have to work hard to eliminate bias. And bias can happen during the planning or the preparation of a study, during data collection and sampling and reviewing the results of, you know, the stats and the data. So, and even like project your outcomes, you know, like what you look back on at the study and what you pull from it. So the FDA has established clear bias, and so I call them out. And then there was a link that I shared. Dr. Robert Ronald Brown basically spells it out. He says the U.S. FDA Advisory Committee did not follow FDA published guidelines for communicating risks and benefits to the public, and the committee failed to report absolute risk reduction measures in authorizing, and then he names, you know, Pfizer and then Moderna's vaccine for emergency use. And he talks about bias, and then he says here, such examples of outcome reporting bias mislead and distort the public's interpretation of these vaccines, essentially, and violate the ethical and legal obligations of informed consent. So,
bias is huge, isn't it? I mean, if we who are uneducated are looking to this body of the medical community to help us make some information judgments as to what will be healthy, what won't be healthy. And when you have all the bias, some of the bias is just having the doctors begin to testify, as soon as I can, I'm going to have my children 5 to 11 take this experimental vaccine. And that is putting some projection and subjective thought into it. So people are trust doctors.
Yes.
They trust the government, even though there is this bias in it, and there is also conflict of interest, both with the monies that are being given out and with the associations
with the vaccine companies. Mm-hmm. What else were you trying to communicate?
Oh, the funding and the revolving doors. I mean, I could go on for hours and hours about these topics, but basically that they're putting the health and safety of our children, you know, behind profits. And there was on MedPage today, you know, you can look into, you type in conflicts of interest FDA or FDA conflicts of interest. And by the way, I recommend a Brave browser because, you know, they do have a lot of tracking. I'm trying to get away from Google altogether. But no, it's just layers upon layers of conflicts of interest, a history of it. At this point, you know, I'm trying not to be too cynical, but I'm feeling very cynical toward the FDA. I'm insulted. I'm offended by them. In fact, I didn't even... somebody said today, did you listen to the ACIP committee, you know, approve or endorse the vaccine as well? And that's the CDC. I said, no, I've heard it all. And once you've listened, I think it's important, actually, if you've never listened, you really should, because you just watch how they get in line and they, you know, nobody's standing up for our children in those rooms. And that's what we expect them to do. So really, it comes down to parents protecting their own children. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is, I feel.
So right now in the process, we've gotten an FDA panel recommendation. The FDA gave its approval for the age of 5 to 11 mm-hmm. for the vaccination to be given to, obviously, to children, the COVID vaccine. That's what we're mm-hmm. talking
the
about
Pfizer,
right here.
Yeah, the Pfizer vaccine,
specifically.
Actually, yes.
And today it was being heard in an advisory panel at the CDC.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that was online. You could listen to it. Do we know any of the results from today?
I don't actually know. I've not been tracking that because I'm working on activism. But what I understand is that by tonight, I mean, as soon as tonight, Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, could sign off on it. And it could be, I mean, they love it. They love saying shots in the arms of our children, shots in the arms.
That's actually what it says, too, on their website.
Oh, I'm
that
sure.
They are fast-tracking it, shot in the arm, so it'll be ready to be issued as an emergency authorization.
Those phrases, I want everyone to start paying attention to hearing those phrases. Shots in the arm, and build back better. And all there's phrases you'll hear, if you're paying attention, that are repeated in the mainstream media and on television, and you hear people saying it, but it's like these quotes, we're going to build back better, you know, shots in the arms. We need to get shots in the arms. I've been hearing...
It's programming.
Exactly.
What it
it's
is.
A psychological thing, and I'm wondering if anyone else has noticed.
Oh, I have.
I know, yeah.
Definitely noticed that.
Ron,
you know,
you've got quick, some things.
Well, actually, Wall Street Journal today did post what the outcome was. The CDC came after an advisory panel vote of 14-0 in favor of giving shots to young children.
There you
so
go.
That's
okay.
What they did. Yeah. You know, it kind of... brings me back to some of those verses that the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at the money, as you were mentioning earlier, both of you, as far as the revolving door, the special interest, the paybacks, the bonuses,
yeah.
I mean, people will look the other way
yeah.
for a little extra cash.
Absolutely.
Did you notice, I mean, the timing just, it was a little puzzling to me. I'll just put it that way that... the FDA was making their arguments and their suggestions on October 26th. On October 28th, Pfizer announced that it had sold 50 million doses of its pediatric vaccine to the U.S. government. Now, this is prior to today. Mm-hmm. So I'm just a little puzzled why our government purchased what had not yet been approved.
Absolutely.
The whole thing's a sham. I mean, you look at what they approved, you know, they did the shot and it was a co-minority.
I butchered that. It's like Comirnaty. Comirnaty.
Yeah. Yes. That's what they approved, not the BioNTech vaccine. That's the one that's out right now. The ones that people are getting is the
BioNTech.
One that is not approved.
Yes.
That's under emergency use.
That's more manipulation right there. So they've approved the Comirnaty, right? But then people,
if
they go thinking that they're going to get that, they need to ask their pharmacist, right? And then you need to be able to see that package insert before you get it to have true informed consent. So no, a lot of people are just trusting that this is good for them. Go do it. Do your part. We're in this together. They're playing on human
emotion to manipulate. It's the most disgusting, abusive treatment I've ever witnessed, and I'm done.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is horrible. Can I say something about that real quick?
Yes.
Go for it, Brandon.
Yes.
You know, what we have going on is a mass misinformation campaign fueled by money, the love of money, like what you said, Ron. What we have going on is a reprogramming of people's minds. And if you think about it, this is something that was published about 2 months ago. Dr. Fauci has stake in Moderna. He's made $9 million already off of the Moderna shot.
I didn't know that. That's new for me. Wow.
Yeah, so not a shocker.
The guy who's choosing what shots are okay or not, and telling the information, is actually making money off of this.
I knew he has a budget apparently bigger than Bill Gates, right? So he gets so many billions of dollars to help develop these things. NIAID has patents. I mean, there's so many layers of conflicts of interest. But
he is the highest paid.
Well, that's why he's lasted so long. How long has he been serving in that seat right there? I mean, why do you think he's not gone away
since
yet?
Reagan.
He's serving.
Since Reagan.
Yeah. Oh, and that's when the 1986 Childhood Vaccine Injury Protection Act happened, when they took liability away from the manufacturers, right? So guess what? After that happens, then the vaccine schedule triples because the vaccine manufacturers no longer have to worry about making a better product because they're going to get sued for death and injury. That's going to be on the taxpayers. You know that we pay an excise tax for every single vaccine that we get, and it goes into a pool of funds called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. From that pool of funds, then they have, it's like a special court, federally appointed. It's a government-appointed jury. So if somebody gets injured, and it happens because they've paid out right now over $4 billion in injury since the act was established, right? The compensation fund program was established. So long story short, but they also cap each, from what I understand, I think it's been a long time since I've read this, but I think they even cap the payout. If
$300,000.
It's like $250,000, rough. Yeah. So it's something like that. But
we're paying for that. It's not actually the vaccine company.
And also, here's the other sad thing is that, I could go off on a million tangents, but and this was published by the White House just a couple weeks ago, maybe a week or a couple weeks ago. It talks about the vaccines for ages 5 to 11. But basically, they are just raving about how all of these states it says states will continue to receive unprecedented levels of federal support, including full reimbursement from the federal government for vaccination operations and outreach programs. What do you think that is? It's called propaganda.
Yeah.
It's called prepping the herd. So this White House statement, they talk about there's 28 million children in the U.S. ages 5 to 11 that they're going for. And they even have FEMA helping them set up vaccination clinics. They've partnered with hospitals, so the Children's Hospital Association. They're partnering up to work with over 100 children's hospital systems to set up vaccination sites in November and through the end of the calendar year. So they are ready to go. And as I've said, and I have that, as I said on my own show, I make my own videos work because I'm so outraged and I want to share it with someone. So I make these videos. But I've been talking about this for a long time. This has been coming, and I've been trying to let people know, this is where it's going. So prepare yourself mentally and then make a plan. What's your exit plan? How are you going to manage this? How are you going to do something different? Because I used to rage against the machine, and now I'm raging in a different way. I'm raging, but I rage and I want to build a better world. I want to build a better system because I'm not going to get it from them. I'm going to build it. And so that's what I'm trying to focus on while also trying to wake the bears.
Yes, we got to build it together. We have to build it together. We are behind the gun. Mm-hmm. We're behind the times. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say one more thing. There's a Soviet KGB defector about 20 years ago, Yuri Bezmenovich, who came, and he basically said the Soviets had a plan to demoralize, destabilize, create crisis and normalization. And he basically lays out what has been going on in our American institutions for the last 40 years. Mm-hmm. And we're in a destabilization phase right now and a crisis phase. And next is coming the normalization. And basically what he says is people they're so overwhelmed with information. Yeah. They cannot even assess news and whether it's actually true or not. And they're so exhausted trying to just screw it. Let's just go ahead and take the vaccine because I don't really know one way or the other. I don't believe that conspiracy stuff. And they're counting on people to getting exhausted by their misinformation campaign. Yeah. Did you know that Daszak came out today? Daszak, who had the emails with Dr. Fauci, it came out today that, yes, in fact, we are doing gain-of-function research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a shock.
So Fauci said to Congress, we're not doing it, absolutely not. And and Daszak said, yeah, we are. And so did the doctors said, yeah, we are. They've been doing gain-of-function research, and they've been hiding it. And they've been misinforming the public for years and years and years.
Fauci, in my opinion, needs to be held accountable for his crimes. And unfortunately, here is what, and this was coming from the high. I love Del Bigtree on the High Wire. If you've not watched the High Wire show, it's thehighwire.com, I think. He talks about this, and it's just he says it's so, and he it's not so basically. Fauci is a criminal, but he's going to scoot his way out of this. He's not going to be held accountable for harming people and children, but he might go out on the puppy thing, right? Yeah, well, that's right. Just same thing with Cuomo in New York, right? So he disheveled the most high risk, vulnerable, people, elderly people, COVID positive people into these nursing homes. I mean, what was he thinking? But no, he's not going to go out on killing people. He's going to go out on his, sexual escapades. So it's, they get to bow
out.
Al Capone,
they couldn't nail him except for his tax evasion. I mean, however they get in court, I do believe that there will be a day in court, but in the meantime, it's rather frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Hey, who are we listening to here, Ron?
Yes, we are listening to KSCO 1080 AM. And we're going to be taking calls later on tonight, probably in another 10 minutes. And that'll be at 479-1080. And so, speaking of Fauci real quick, I mean, he deserves to be in orange in Gitmo, and that's where he belongs. And he not only denied that he was involved in gain of function, he says, I resent the fact that you would even accuse me of that. He says, how dare you? And he was talking to Rand Paul about that, Senator Rand Paul.
Yes.
I mean, he was just so adamant, like, you're lying.
Yep. He is
Rand
a bold
Paul
liar.
Destroyed him.
He did. Yes.
Rand Paul destroyed him. He said, here's the routing number of the money to the shell corporation that you sent it to, and the doctor who said, thank you so much for that money for the gain of function research. I mean, if anybody watches that breakdown that Rand Paul gives of the whole thing, he actually shows the routing number. He shows that it's clear. It's a cut and dry case.
Yes. And I'm wondering, it doesn't likely air on the mainstream, does it? I mean, I think we only get to see this if we're interested and we're curious. But when you watch these things, you just can't stop. You just can't stop digging because you realize this, they propped Fauci up as like, our savior, right? I mean, this guy is up there. He was like our God for a while. And so now, I think he's starting to crumble, but and now we get to watch him. He's been lying to our faces, and actually he's intentionally put people in harm's way for profits. And that's how, I mean, I'm very firm on that now. I used to try to be really careful about saying things. Language is strong. I wanted to be careful about not saying anything that was incorrect because I didn't want to undermine my message, but it's criminal and it's unforgivable. I said that last time. And it remains that way. And there are a lot of wonderful resources out there. We were talking about that earlier. So I want to share some more links with you to share on your show once I leave today.
Yeah, we will have show notes, and we'll have everything in the show notes. You've got to go to wakethebearradio.com and go under show notes for tonight's broadcast, and you will see a whole list of great links. They'll take you to some good, important places. So please do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier about just with this whole thing with COVID. I mean, as we have mandates that seem to be coming down on people, we got to ask ourselves. I mean, we need to use logic. Just ask yourselves, and using logic, stuff like if the guy who's involved in gain of function, creating the virus out of the very lab, out of the city in Wuhan, on the other side of the world, if he's responsible for that, should he really be the one responsible for the cure? I mean, that would be a red flag number one. Crazy things like if you've already had coronavirus, aren't you supposed to have the immunity? Every doctor says that's basic 101. If you've had the cold, you have an immunity for that. Why are they still pushing it?
They're trying to erase, I feel, like true herd immunity. True herd immunity is really exposure and having your body's natural defenses fight it off. That is the most long-lasting, incredible immunity we could ask for. And so what they are creating is a vaccine-dependent population.
Yes.
And that only serves their pocketbooks. So they create... Yep. They create the problem, and then they have the solution. They create the problem. They have the solution. They do this with so many things. And on top of it, you know, I more and more links I'll send you. But with the vaccine schedule, what I'm starting to understand after just really reading into it and going, how could they keep doing this? I think that this is, again, my opinion. I think that the immunization schedule is actually quite convenient because children now have never had a higher rate of autism, ADHD, behavioral disorders, sensory disorders, all of these disorders. And you know what's funny? And this is why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is my hero. He is the one who pointed me to... I forget now, it was like the FDA regulations code. It was like 251.1, and it talks about vaccines as biologics are not subject to the same clinical safety testing as FDA-approved drugs. Sometimes the observation period after a vaccine, during clinical safety trials, can last 5 days, and they'll call it safe. Isn't that ludicrous? To think about giving infants products that where they have barely even given it enough time to look for the long-term adverse events, the systemic events that you don't see with the red arm and the ouchie, you know, and the... So, I could go in circles. Where was I?
We were just going down and kind of a list of red flags.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would say one of the major red flags is if you go to openvars.com, yes. Mm-hmm. There are more reports. It's been around forever, right? Yes. It's been around for 30 years. There's more reports of deaths in 1 year than the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And what do you think that is, right? And they used to like black box a treatment if 5 people died, and if 10 people died, they take them off the market.
Yep.
17,600 people have been reported died, and that's only 1%.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the recent numbers. I mean, it's just, I get to the point where I've done so many deep dives. I go, okay, now I just see it for what it is. It's a scam, and it's horrible. So, they are misrepresenting, and this is unprecedented. They are with that H1N1 outbreak. You know, when the vaccines injured and I think killed 25 roughly, and they halted that vaccine program. And we need to remember. I mean, you can look this up. The FDA has had fully approved vaccines on the market. I think they have actually removed roughly 60 over, you know, since vaccines were put on the market, like fully approved by the FDA. So people make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We go, whoops, oh, look at that, the thalidomide, made your child, you know. So we learn as we go, sadly. And actually, that was even a statement that was made during the FDA process where they were saying, well, we don't know enough, or we don't know until we do it, something along those lines to that effect. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's absurd. And the fact that they're preparing, this is what they're doing so brilliantly, and you touched on it. People are exhausted. They want to just trust the messenger. It's almost too hard to believe that they're not looking out for us because it's devastating. But they have us in this
perpetual... That has higher, bigger connotations, doesn't it, when there's something nefarious going on with the government that you trust. But we're going to be taking callers very quickly, and it'll be at 479-1080-1080.
I need to wait for our sound engineer, because since I have Brandon on full time.
There you go. Well, I wanted Kat to tell us about the worldwide walkout that's tomorrow.
Oh,
and
gosh.
That's a global protest against the government overreach, isn't it?
It's fantastic. Actually, it spoke to me. Rand Paul was the one who said nationwide walkout, you know, November 3rd. That was a couple weeks ago, and I thought, that speaks to me. Like, that's how we're going to do it. We need to walk out nationwide. So I thought, well, I can't control the nation, but I can affect change in my county. So I started promoting it, and I'm linked in with the Children's Health Defense California ambassador. So I said, let's do this. And let's get this going. And then Bobby Kennedy gets on, he does a video in his car. It's like, we're all thinking the same way. He's like, today we call for the counteroffensive, you know, it was just this brilliant thing. And then, you know, and he's remade that video since then, because of course people are like, oh, he's reclining in his car. It's not very, you know, but it was so powerful. So everyone was feeling it. So now we've got, I think, probably, I'm going to say 12, probably more, because I've not connected with National for a little bit, but we have like 12 robust events happening all around California and more than that. But we have like the CHD, you know, supported. And so, yeah, we have a major walkout planned for tomorrow. And now I'm going to drop it. It's from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. at the town clock or the clock tower in Santa Cruz. And I believe it's Water and River.
That's Street. It. River yep. Street and Water Street.
And that is such a cozy place. I love that. It was great for our walkout on the 18th. I think that's when it was. Yeah. And then, yeah. And so we plan on gathering and then marching. And there's going to be a lot more than there have ever been in Santa Cruz. I'm very happy.
Yeah, thanks, so Duel. It is an opportunity to stand up and to show up and to stop the mandates. There's also one in Monterey. And it'll be at Monterey City Hall on the front line, front lawn from 11 to 1. And that's 580 Pacific Street in Monterey tomorrow. And there's one in San Jose that's 200 East Santa Clara Street. I believe that's right out in front of their new city hall from 11 to 1. So we've got Monterey, San Jose, and Santa Cruz that are real close. Berkeley and Modesto, Malibu. SLO has one, Stockton, Santa Monica, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Marin, and Roseville.
Yep.
So there are quite a few going on across the state. And you can find that out at Children's Health Defense website. That's childrenshealthdefense.org.
And you can also type in worldwidewalkouts.com or .org. But, you know, I will share a link with you as well tonight so you can get that up there for people. And we are activating. It's incredible. And there is an energy growing. And I also wanted to give a nod because, you know, who's been really helpful in organizing, Guardians of Youth. They have this new infectious energy. It's all of these families and these beautiful people that are kind of starting to come around to like, what is going on? I thought if I just did the testing and wore the masks that this would go away. And I even, some of the parents have had their vaccines where they're like, I had the vaccines and now they're coming for my kids. I don't know if I want it for my children. So it's this incredible energy of people who are going, what is going on? And they're starting to come together and come up. And so it's just this magical movement and we're organizing. Anyway.
People are waking up. Yes. So, hey, we've got a caller. I'm going to try this. So let's see if this works. David, you're on the air. Wake the bear. Are you there? I guess not.
Next call.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry, David.
Sorry, David. Just hang on. I got to wait for our sound engineer. So one of the other things is I believe that this whole COVID thing, not only with the vaccines for possible population or depopulation, but we had an amazing, if you just think back 2 years ago, we had an amazing time. We had the best economy. We had the lowest unemployment. Things were thriving. Things were going really well. But the problem was, is it was run by an outsider. It wasn't part of the establishment. It was Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's like, how can you get him out? He's filling up rallies everywhere he goes. There's miles of cars and flags and people supporting. They love this guy. And he spoke for the people. And then, but then you have this power structure that they lost. They didn't know. They expected Hillary to win. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how are we going to get rid of him? It is obvious that there's no way people are going to buy that more people voted for a Democrat. And you look at who won, right? A week before Super Tuesday, all the other Democratic forerunners for president, they all dropped out of the race. Why would you do that a week before Super Tuesday? That's when you get, if you're going to get anything, you're going to get it on Super Tuesday and you have some cards to play with. They all jump and they leave Joe Biden in. He can't fill up a high school gymnasium. So what happens? COVID comes out, right? And then it's next thing you know, within a week, this is 9 months before the election. They're talking about, hey, we're going to have to do mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
And funny how that happened, huh?
It's, you know.
Change their laws.
I have a little backstory there. I was a diehard progressive liberal for a long time. And it's really funny for me because I remember as I was, you know, I thought, you know, anyway, I just had to admit that. And then I ended up, I'm now apolitical. And all I can say is that the more I've learned, the more I really can say, I don't know anymore. I don't know if there's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of situations that can point to something. But I try to be careful about my language when I say this really happened, you know, so I can give my opinion based on my observations and my learning. But it's hard to know. But I was actually shocked when Trump was elected the first time. And I just, like a lot of the left left-leaning did, you know, had my opinions, but I realized later it was only because I was aware of the pharmaceutical industry influence. And when I saw them lying, when I saw my mainstream outlets, my New York Times and my, I knew the New York Times had bias, but not to this extent. And I really started, I was thinking in the beginning, I was like, gosh, Trump's actually handling this calmly, like exactly how you would want a president to handle this. And that was shocking for me and hard to admit. And then I started learning more about, you know, because I didn't pay much attention to what they said, you know, but the ways that the media just ripped him apart. And then the level of censorship that came down on him. I mean, I started to open my eyes, and that was actually like life changing for me, because I was so anti, right? I was so anti-orange guy is how I felt. I was just locked in that, you know, and then I really shifted. So that's really hard to do. It's really hard to challenge your learned biases, but that woke me up profoundly, because I realized, oh my goodness, the effort to which the liberal press, I say liberal now freely because it's really what it is, actually it's the industry captured press. The Democrats are industry captured. I think that for my whole life I thought the Republicans were industry serving, you know, but I think now that the system is captured, and I'm at the point where I don't know if it's even if either left or right really do have a lot of say. I wonder sometimes if we're being played here, you know, with the, we have both opposing extremes and we think that we're getting the bigger picture when really they continue to take our freedoms as, you know, they play their games. It's like a circus. I can't even watch it anymore.
Did you know that the defamation lawyer, Lynn Wood, he said that he has irrefutable evidence that both the Democrats and many of the Republicans are either completely blackmailed or bought out by China to the tune of like $4 billion a person.
To China. So that's interesting. I'd like to see that too. If you send that to me, I'll look at it. Yeah. I'm still learning as I go, right?
He and also Steve Bannon on his war room talk about this with Joshua Phillips from Epoch Times about how China has been planning. They don't plan in years. They plan in dynasties. They've been planning for 50 years to overtake America from within without ever firing a shot, which is what Stalin and Lenin both said. We will take over you without ever firing a shot.
Yeah.
And we're actually seeing that played out right now, which is super scary.
Based on, I've seen smaller level of doing that, and it's amazing. It's like this, I've experienced and I've witnessed the smaller level scale. So when I hear you say that, it makes a lot of sense. And so I wouldn't deny it anymore. You know, that's the kind of thing that I would have said, oh, that's just such a piece of propaganda, you know, years ago or a year and a half ago or whatever. But it's what's surreal is that a lot of the things that sound so ridiculous and out there and just like not, you couldn't fathom that they would do that. They couldn't do that. And you go, oh my gosh, they're doing it.
Well,
it's
and
really
I think that's
unsettling.
Yeah, that's part of what you just mentioned, Kat, was your process of waking up. We've all had part of that process. And any time we readjust, I mean, in the Christian belief, it's called repent. It's, you know, repent is not a bad word. It just means I'm changing direction based on what I understand to be true.
Yeah.
And it requires some things. It requires, first of all, maybe I was wrong. So it takes humility. Second, it takes truth. So we need a place to be able to look at some truth and evaluate. And then it takes a decision to actually shift directions and go a different way. And I had to walk away from a lot of what I was believing, and that's really where we are as a nation. In order to wake up, there needs to be a place of stop, turn, walk away, and we need to regroup and find out what is true, what isn't true, and be able to stand together as a nation, not a party this or party that. Mm-hmm. We need as a nation to stand together as patriots who love this country, who love our neighborhoods, our communities, and our families.
Yes, you know, there were plenty of warnings in the scriptures about that. When God dealt with the Hebrews, he had a way of running government and stuff like that. And a lot of it was, be careful with, you know, who comes in. The aliens welcome, but don't put them in positions of power. Even weird laws like, you know, don't buy your lot and the lot catty corner to you and stuff like that. Basically, he's saying don't create a monopoly, because then it's unfair to your brothers, and what happens is then you can start to rule over them. Things, crazy things like don't mix wool fibers, animal fibers, with vegetable fibers for clothing and stuff. Mm. And people go, well, that's just weird. Mm-hmm. But really, it was a practice of imitation. It looked like it had a fine quality, but it didn't. It didn't last. So it's an art of deception. And so there's just all kinds of things like that. And here, we get sold out. We buy the cheap Chinese knockoffs, you know, a tool that lasts a week and then it breaks because it was cheaper, it's undercut. So there's just principles. Yeah. So truth, I would say go to scriptures, even the Old Testament, all those laws on how to run a country. I mean, you know, if you're kidnapping and you're murdering, you know, capital punishment. That seems real harsh, and it was supposed to be cruel and unusual. I mean, when they stoned people, it wasn't just like, oh, they got executed. It left a bitter taste in everyone's mouth. They saw it. They don't ever want to do that again.
It was very visceral, wasn't it?
Yes, but then crime was really low. And you think about the victims that pay the price, you know. So anyway, I just wanted to say the scriptures have the answers. If you're willing to go in and say, what did this really mean, rather than, oh, this is weird, I can't relate to it. It really has some amazing answers. Yeah.
And Brandon, I know you've got some thoughts too. You've got some thoughts about what we've been talking about tonight, as well as I know you've got a message of hope that you want to give tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're talking about all the crazy stories, and I have two stories and then a message of hope. You know, I just had a friend of mine this morning say, hey, I'm a tech person. I was just told by my boss that I'm going to lose my job if I don't get vaccinated. And he's like, and I don't even see anybody face to face.
Yeah.
But they're going to do, and my upper boss doesn't even understand why they're doing this. And then I have another friend who has a daughter who goes to a school nearby, and he basically has a ton of allergies to things. And one of his daughters said, don't ever give this kid a vaccine.
Yeah.
Because he has no vaccine, no vaccine record. But because of California 278, they passed that in 2019. They're eliminating all the exemptions for kids, and he has to get vaccinated now or he can't go to school.
Yeah.
So this is there's a premeditated plan.
Even though he'll have an anaphylactic reaction, possibly.
You know, what they basically made it was, so the SB 277 removed the philosophical and religious exemptions. Then SB 276 came later on. That's Senator Richard Pan, California senator. And they then severely restricted medical exemptions. And they put, I mean, they've been slowly, inch by inch, removing our right to choose and removing, infringing on the doctor-patient relationship. And that's a violation. I mean, doctors who can't practice and have that relationship with their patient, I mean, it's a violation of their first do no harm when they're not able to practice medicine and do what they believe is best for their patients. Instead, they're trying to appease the rules, frankly. I mean, they're trying to keep up and follow the CDC. The CDC is a corrupt foundation. I forget if we discussed that, but the CDC Foundation, look them up. That's a
foundation. CDC, CDC did not track any flu in the year of COVID. And the CDC showed that there was no increase in deaths from age for 2018, 2019, 2020. So if there was 700,000 people that died, why isn't there a spike of 700,000 people?
Yeah.
The CDC, the FDA, all of these three-letter organizations are in bed with each other.
Yeah.
They're making horrible decisions for us. They don't have our best interest in mind, and they're being paid and bought off. We've got a big problem ahead of us.
Yeah.
And I one of the things I want to do about Wake the Bear and is I want to wake people up to what's going on and listen, use your brain.
Yeah.
Go question the narrative. Mm-hmm. Don't just believe what people tell you. Use your voice. Speak out. You smell something fishy going on. It doesn't make sense. Talk about it. Read about it. Discuss it with people. Mm-hmm. And, the whole thing with the COVID is they made it so we can't get together.
Yeah.
We can't go to a bar and sit down and go, you know, I don't agree with this. And, you know, I don't agree either. So they're stopping people from talking and being able to actually come to a well-reasoned discussion and debate.
And the social pressure. So they've got the social pressure component. I mean, I have friends and family that actually can't and don't feel comfortable speaking to their dearest friends because it's so tense, and it's brilliant. When you think about trying to control people, divide and conquer, right? So you make it so it's so socially uncomfortable to have this conversation, and then you get your way. This is absolutely manipulative. And
well, part of the reason is because there's so much fear.
Mm-hmm.
And we as Wake the Bear on here, Ron Powers, Brandon Johnson, and myself, Chris Hurst, we come with a Christian worldview, and love is a really important piece of what Jesus brought to us. And the opposite of love is not hate, it's fear. It's fear. And when you get people so afraid, it shifts their ability to reason, to think. And so now they're polarized, and they're not thinking the way God said in his word. He says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. He wants us to think clearly. He wants us to think brilliantly like he does. He wants us to come with a heart that is good and is full of life and love. He wants us to have power and be empowered in our freedom.
Come on. Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
I want to add this. You know, one of the things that's important to realize, and I heard this early on, I heard this in my spirit from the Lord. He said, don't listen to the reports of the 10 spies, but listen to the reports of Joshua and Caleb. And that was a very famous story where the Israelites were promised a new land, a promised land. And God said, listen, I'm going to give you this land. It's promised. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But there's other people that inhabit the land, so you got to go in and fight. But it's yours. Just go get it. And the people went in. The 12 spies went into the land to look the land over. And 10 of the spies said, oh, my gosh. There's literally giants in the land, like Nephilim, like transhuman people. They're huge. We can't defeat these guys. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 that said, no, no, no. Listen, yes, there are giants in the land, but our God is bigger, and we're on the right side, and they will be like bread to us. And this is one of the things about Wake the Bear that maybe makes us different than other shows, talk shows, is that we're not just saying – we're not just talking about the problem. We're talking about the answer.
Yes.
And the answer is that God is on our side. Righteousness is on our side. The people who fight against tyranny are fighting against Satan.
Yeah.
The people who are fighting for freedom are fighting for God. And I think, you know, Joshua and Caleb said, our God is bigger. What I don't want to do is, and this is what some people do, well, there's no giants in the land. Everything's fine. No, there's no big problem. There's no real conspiracy going on here. Or they say, oh, no, there's a conspiracy going on here, and they're so big and scary, we can't win. Oh, no, freak out in fear. Mm-hmm. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, there are giants in the land. And that's what we're doing here is we're saying, listen, we've got a huge war ahead of us. We're in the middle of a war. I mean, that one song that just came out that said this is a war.
Yeah.
This is a war on religion. This is a war on tradition. We're in the middle of a war. But Joshua and Caleb said, listen, we're on the right side. God is fighting for us. All we need to do is fight, and we will win. And then the last thing I want to say is Psalm 121:5 says, the Lord himself watches over you. Mm-hmm. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shield or shade.
Yeah.
And I really believe that if we just as a people wake up to what's going on, don't poo-poo it and say, oh, there's nothing bad going on. Don't say, oh, no, it's so bad, we're going to lose. But we take a Joshua and Caleb perspective. We will win this battle, ladies and gentlemen. We will win it. But you know, we have to speak. We have to fight.
I was just going to say, it's funny. We started off the show with it was sad because it's November 4th, but I had to say, I feel really good. I'm feeling the energy shifting. I'm feeling people come together. I'm feeling, I'm exhilarated. I mean, there's so much happening right now, and I can feel it. So I actually came in feeling, you know, excited, but then also tired because I've been working nonstop. But there are things brewing, and people are coming together, and people are uniting, and there are solutions. I think it'd be great to have another show where we talk about solutions. And I have friends that have been trying to wake us all up to solutions. You know, what can we do to get through this? And you can, there's a lot of, it's about relationships and community. So,
yep. Yeah. We got to build. I think you're right, Kat. You said this before. We need to build. We as freedom people need to show them that they need us. We don't need them.
Yep.
And we need to build new structures that are around freedom and then watch all of the freedom people come alongside us. And all of a sudden we're winning.
Yeah.
And that's a biblical principle as well. But it takes a few. It takes the 3% to stand up to start the American Revolution. It takes a few people to speak out.
Yeah. Well, we have run out of time tonight, and we want to communicate a blessing to you. We want to say God bless you wherever you are. We release peace to you. We release the love of God, and we welcome your calls next week. And don't forget, tomorrow,
yes,
November 3rd, 10 to noon at the Clock Tower in Santa Cruz. That's
Thank you right, so much. We'll right. see you there.
That's right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. This has been Wake the Bear Radio on KSCO, 1080 on your AM dial.